Good evening to each and every one of you. I know there's many out there that are sick and that are feeling the bug that is going around at this time, but nonetheless, we are praying for you and we're definitely keeping you in mind, and we're thankful that we still have the ability and the resources to be able to reach out and to hear the word that is to be preached. And I want to first start by saying I always feel completely unworthy when I come up here and I speak. And as my brother was saying his prayer, his opening prayer, I was truly grateful for that, because in my prayer and in my thoughts, I wanted to share that I was asking that the Lord would be able to give me that liberty to speak. And it's a wonderful blessing to be able to come here and to be a part of this gospel and to be able to share with my brothers and sisters, those that I know that care about me and that care about the gospel and the work that the Lord has done in their lives, and to be able to feel that brotherly love and to have that fellowship and that strength in our body, to where I could come and I can stand and I can share the wonderful blessings of life that the Lord has bestowed upon me. And it's not about what the Lord has done for me in my life. It's difficult to stand up here and to talk about myself sometimes, because I really, truly want to make sure that the message that I get across is not about me. It's about the Lord and how wonderful He is, how He could take somebody from where they've been and bring them to a place that is so wonderful, and it's full of peace and of comfort and of joy, and to be able to see other people be able to come from difficult lives and trouble in their lives and have afflictions and stresses in their lives, and to be able to see how the Lord blesses them. And to be a part of that, what a true and wonderful blessing that is, to be able to be a part of the gospel and to be given the opportunity to come and to express those things is truly a humbling experience that the Lord has given me. And experience is something that we gather as we grow and as we draw ourselves closer to God. And to be able to be there and experience wonderful things that have happened, to see the Lord's work unfold, to hear about those things from the 50s and the 40s, how the restored gospel came to us. It's a wonderful thing to see and to be a part in this chapel and to hear that experience up here being preached to us, how the Lord has blessed so many people in their lives, and to be able to have that to enlighten me and to give me that energy and that zeal to be able to be a part of that. And the work, it's going to continue to go on. And there's so much to be done, and there's so many difficulties that there are that we deal with on a daily basis. But it's really a blessing to be able to see that with all those things going on around us, we put the Lord first in our lives, and we take that, and no matter what happens, we are a part of having His gospel being preached throughout all the nations. And where our ministry goes and what they do, it's amazing how many times they are blessed and how well the Lord works with them and looks after them. And my brother Jim, he preached the other week, and he said he wasn't going to give it a New Year's sermon, and I was kind of thankful for that because the title of my sermon today is Getting Started Off on the Right Foot. And it's, I feel, an important part of being called as an assistant pastor, to be able to come up here and to help lead the church and to give guidance and direction on the things that the Lord has for us. And I always feel that it's a big responsibility, and sometimes it's a heavy burden. But I think that if we all have this new year ahead of us and we have the responsibilities that we were given to us in our last meeting of elections, that we can take those things and those responsibilities and do our best at them, to be good stewards of our time. And it's something that we have an opportunity to do. The Lord gives us opportunities every single day. And I just want to make sure that when we start off, that we're starting off on the right foot. And it's kind of funny, because as I was getting ready for the service tonight in my sermon, I always put it out on paper, but I got my iPad here because, you know, I didn't get started off on the right foot. The printer was out of ink, so I was kind of laughing at that. I was like, well, so much for that, because I'm a person that really likes to be organized and have everything in place. And when it's not, my feathers get all ruffled and I have a difficult time dealing with it. And that's just the way I am. That's my nature. But nonetheless, it's all right here, so I'm not worried about it. As long as the battery doesn't go dead, then we're in big trouble. But I'm at 67%, so I made sure last night that my iPad was going to be charged because I usually do my final touches as I get prepared for the service this day. So, you know, it's really something neat to be able to feel the Lord working in your life. And to know that, we are created by Him and that we're living after His image. And I think it's important for us that when we're here, that what we're doing, it's always involving Him. It's always that we have Him on our mind and that we know that He is a part of us and that we're His temple and that we need to have our minds open. We have to have that frame of mind that we have a responsibility. You know, we could go through life living day to day and do our things and everything could be mundane, but it's so much better when you actually live and not just live as the world wants us to live, to try to get gain and to have all these things, but to live after Christ. And how rewarding that is to be able to know that when you accomplish something for the Lord, that you feel that you see that you have that growth, that spiritual growth, and how it helps you in your life and how it helps other people. And it's just amazing. You know, I was thinking today, 20 years ago, I was looking at myself, and it's just amazing the changes that have occurred in my life. And that, you know, it really is something when the things that you thought that you cared about mean nothing when you care about the Lord and take care of those things that He wants you to take care of and to care about those things. The things of the world that a lot of people care about, they're meaningless. There's really nothing to them. They're a void. They're empty. They're of no gain. But the things that we can do for the Lord can help us gain so much more, that can draw us so much closer to Him, to help other people be able to draw themselves closer. It's really a wonderful thing when we look at those things and take upon ourselves responsibilities, set new goals. Challenge ourselves, as our brother Jeff spoke last week. You know, challenge ourselves to be that Christian that we're called to be. To be able to do those works for the Lord and to do it with zeal and to be diligent in it and to look at our time and to manage our time and to think about those things, what the Lord wants us to do, and to be able to actually apply it, watch the timeline of it being done, and seeing the accomplishment when it's done. And it's something that doesn't happen overnight for a lot of people. A lot of those things take time. And if you look at life and how little time you actually have, you know, 20 years for me seems like it was 2 minutes ago. And if I was to really look at it, my life has completely changed in a matter of 20 years from somebody I thought I never thought I would be, to somebody that I'm truly thankful of being. And give all that thanks and that honor and glory to the Lord. It's just His ability to change a person is amazing. And I can never fathom how wonderfully I've been blessed. And I know a lot of people have changes going on in their lives at this time. There's a lot of things going on that's happening in this new year already. We have babies that were being born. We have people graduating from college. Their lives are going to change tremendously. We have people that are looking for new jobs. You know, it's just, there's always something changing in our lives. And we have to remember that when we go through those changes, are we taking advantage of the Lord's work being done as they go along? When new children are being born, are we prepared to raise them in a godly household? Are we prepared to teach them the things of the gospel, the truth of the gospel? Are we prepared to go into the workforce and do those things that the Lord calls us to do, to be a light, to separate ourselves from the world, to be a pillar for the church here, to help it grow? And I think it's a responsibility that each and every one of us have, and that we need to be good stewards of our time and take advantage of that. Now I'm going to start tonight in Ephesians. I have everything written down on my iPad here, so it's kind of going to be a little bit of a different adventure for me. I wanted to read one verse out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then I'm going to go to, I just wanted to give out that little verse there, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. And we're all familiar with this, but it was really put upon my heart to speak of this, because we're all a part of this church. We're all a part. We're all just as important as each and every one of us has a responsibility. We're all just as important to the body. And it says here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And, you know, I look back at my life, and, you know, there's no reason for me to have any kind of emotion to where I feel that I should be selfish at this time. It's a reasonable service. The Lord has blessed me so much and has blessed so many of us so much. He has blessed this church that it's our reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing. You know, if I think about it, there's nothing unreasonable about it. Where I'm at right now and what the Lord has done for me, I have no complaints. There are so many people that have struggles in their lives and have difficulties and deal with personal struggles that make life so much more difficult. But when you have God in your life and you know that and you give yourself to God, how much you can do is just, it's amazing to know that it's a reasonable service, that there's no reason for us to murmur, there's no reason for us to complain. And we have a new year ahead of us. We have a lot of things that we have to accomplish, a lot of places that the ministry is going to go. We're in need to make sure that we approach God and that we have him direct us in those things that he has for us. And it says here in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many, many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And I'm also going to read verse 21. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And I wanted to go back to verse 9, where it says, let love be without dissimulation. And to be honest with you, I didn't know what that word meant. I looked it up, Strong's 505, and it's hypocrisy. Webster's Dictionary, dissimulate, to hide under a false appearance. And that's one of the things that I really wanted to express tonight, is that we give all of our heart to God. Let's put our lives in his hands. Let's not put on that false appearance. Let's not live in a hypocritical state to where we come here, we show up, we do our thing, we make our appearance, and then go home and go back to the same old thing, that we can put ourselves away from God. But let's come here. Let's come here with an honest heart, an open mind. Let's let the Lord's Spirit work with us in our lives. Let's pray that the Lord will have a work for us. Let's take advantage of that and to dissimulate something, you know, that is in opposition of God's will. Let's be sure that we make sure that, that was kind of a funny saying, let's be sure that we have that frame of mind that we're going to take full advantage of our time, because we know that time goes by so fast if we let it slip. We know that if we have a responsibility in the church, that we can take full advantage of it, make a difference, make the church stronger and grow, and to be able to have that ability to do that, we need to rely on God. We need to have Him there in our lives to where we don't have that selfishness come upon us, but we have that loving charity that the Lord has for us, and that we could be able to share that with each other. And I want everyone to know that you could be confident in knowing that the Lord is going to be there for you. Life has challenges. Every year we're going to have new challenges. It's going to happen. We're going to have things that we're going to go through. Times are going to be difficult. And when times get difficult, who do we need to rely upon? We need to rely upon God. And a lot of times when we get into difficult situations and we start to struggle, we start to get frustrated. And we start to point the finger and to make blame of things. But really, if we look at it, it's looking at the glass half full rather than half empty. What can I do as my part as a Christian in this church for the gospel to make this situation, no matter what it is, how difficult it is, what can I do at this point to make a difference? To make it to where when somebody's looking at me in this situation, I can make an impression on them. I can make a difference in their lives. I can show that light of Christ right now at this time and be confident in doing that, because we know that we can rely upon God for those things. We know that we can have that charity, that true love of Christ, to be able to have that, and we know we can share it. And we have to just put those things of our own selfishness aside when we do that. I'm going to go to John chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 17. And it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." And that's what I was talking about. You know, be confident in knowing that we can open up ourselves and our lives to one another, that we can share those things, the gospel. Do not fear what society puts in place about our religion. Do not fear those things that can happen. If we have that confidence in Christ, our lives are going to be taken care of by Him. Put on that image of God. Be that person He calls you to be. Stand up for the truth of the gospel. Do not dissimulate that love that we have for one another and our brothers and sisters and those people that we deal with on a daily basis, but have that charity. Show that charity. Have that light shine that we can share that. And the wonderful blessings that we retain because of those things that we see, the Lord's work being done, how great is that? In Jeremiah chapter 17, 5 through 10, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And that's the other thing, is we need to be fruitful for the Lord. We know that there's so many things that we can do in the church that could be of a yield to the Lord, and that could be fruitful to the Lord. And we know that when we do this, when we continue to do the works for the Lord, when we do little things make a big difference. And when we do these things, when we come into difficult times, we're going to know that we have the strength to be able to endure. And we were just talking about before the service tonight about a cactus and how its roots are shallow, but they go out really far. You have a cactus that weighs an immense amount of weight. It's thousands of pounds sometimes. And how these roots can hold up this cactus. And I think that's the same thing with us in our lives, that the more we do for the Lord and that we're fruitful for Him, our roots are established, and that we know that when life gets difficult, when life has its challenges and its struggles, that we have that ability to sustain life through Christ to help us endure through those times, from those trials that we go through, from the desert places that we travel in. We know that we have the ability to be able to sustain those things and to have the strength to endure. And that strength is in Christ. And we have to be confident in having our prayers to Him and knowing that He's going to be there to help us and to strengthen us. He's going to give us those opportunities. He's going to give us those things that are going to help us grow in life. He's going to give us those challenges. You know, no year is different from the next. Everybody has challenges. Everybody goes through life, and it's what you make of it as you're going through it and how you can make yourself stronger and draw yourself closer to God. In the book of Alma, on page 425, I'm going to read a few verses there. That's chapter 16, verses 169 through 173. It says, that's once again on page 425. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. And that's the one thing I want to say. In order for a tree to grow, you have to nourish it. And we have to nourish it by doing those works for the Lord. We have to continue to help it grow. And we have to have those things in our lives that help us grow. Just as this tree, we have to have a eye of faith, looking forward to what this tree, ourselves, can yield for the Lord. And we have to make sure that, you know, those things that we're doing are nourishing not only our lives and our spiritual lives, but those that are around us. And it says in 170, but if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree that it, as it beginneth to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word and nourishing it, these are the things we have to have. We have to have diligence. We got to be faithful in the Lord. But most of all, we got to be patient. We got to be patient because, you know, like I said, sometimes things don't happen as fast as we want them to. But we have to make sure that we're patient and we're prayerful, because a lot of times those things don't happen right away because it's of our own selfishness. It's because it's something that we want so bad to happen so fast that it might not be the best thing for us. And maybe that's why it takes time, because as the dust settles and we clear our thoughts and we get away from our own selfishness and we really think about the big picture, maybe there's a reason for it. And then that's when all the clarity comes and we can really understand why these things aren't happening or why they are happening. And I'm going to start over on 171. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word and nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by, you shall pluck of the fruit thereof, which is most precious which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. And being good stewards of our time and knowing those things that we are to take care of and making those things a priority, especially when it comes to the church and the works of the church and what we have and how we're involved with that, how we should prioritize that. I always, when I look and approach a situation, the first thing I think of in any situation is, you know, what can I do in this situation that I'm in to make it to where it's not only going to profit my spirituality, but those that are around me, and how I can glorify Christ? How can I do this to the best of my ability and make the outcome as fruitful as possible for the Lord? And that's one of the challenges that we face. And that's one of the challenges that I'm going to try to improve myself in, you know, with the words I speak and how my actions are, you know, the way that I approach people. You know, it's really something that we can do without even noticing a lot of times in how we act and what we say. But one of the challenges I put to myself is to really approach a situation knowing that the way I'm acting is going to be fruitful for the Lord. How I react in this situation is something that's going to be a benefit, not for myself, but for the Lord. And it's kind of neat because when you go into a situation like that, I've learned that, you know, I'm putting the Lord first and I'm seeing how His light is shining. And the result is you are blessed by that and you receive the fruit, the rewards thereof. It's kind of to where when I'm selfish and I put myself first, it always seems like nothing turns out the way I want it to, and I'm always beating my head against the wall because, really, I become impatient, I become frustrated, I'm difficult to talk to, I'm difficult to work with. But that's my challenge to myself, is to really, what can I do to make myself a better person for the church and to be a benefit to the church and to make the Lord's light shine? And when I started applying that, you know, at work and in my environment, I really see those things and how neat of a difference that it actually is and how better I feel as a Christian when I try to do those things for the Lord and not for myself. I'm going to go to Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to read a few verses there. Chapter 2 of Titus, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And that's what I was saying, is that, you know, we're going to have difficult times. People look at me sometimes like I'm just this whacked out Christian, in that, you know, this guy is just, he doesn't relate. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't have a clue of what he's talking about. But really, it's because I'm speaking the language that the Lord would want me to speak. I'm not speaking the language that society wants me to speak. And that's what a lot of people like to hear. They like to hear that kind of vulgarity. They like to hear the words that really are profane and they're very unpleasing to the Lord, and they're of no worth, they're of no value, and they put down people. But really, you know, some people thrive on that. But what I would like us to thrive on, it's just the opposite. Thrive on lifting each other up. Lifting up people in your workplace, your students, those peers, your fellow classmates. Lift them up. Look for those positive things, and you will be richly rewarded. The Lord will bless you. And you know, it's a peculiar thing when people do that and how it can change an environment. I know I've talked about that in many of my sermons, but how true it is when it can change an environment completely. When one person stands up and knows the truth of the gospel and lives by it and practices it and nourishes it and has an effect on everybody else in the room. It's a really neat thing. And how people sometimes actually change and realize that what they're doing is of no value. It's of no worth. And it's not getting them anywhere. They're not looking cool like they think they are. And it's really neat to be able to see that and have them change. And actually, you know, the Lord's not a respecter of persons, but I'm sure the Lord appreciates when one of his children, have that strength and that ability and that faith and that trust in God to stand up for what's right in a room and to make that change. I'm sure that the Lord smiles upon that. And then when a person actually changes the way that they're thinking, you know that there's something there that touched them. You know that there's something that told them that what I am doing is not right. And I truly believe that that's the Spirit of the Lord giving you that power and that authority and that strength in your weakness to be able to stand up for what is right and humbling a person. I truly believe that. And it's really a neat thing. And, you know, it's something that doesn't give me more authority. It doesn't give me more power. It actually humbles me. Because when you see the Lord working in that manner, it's truly a humbling experience to know that, you know, I see the Lord's work being done. I see Him, you know, His Spirit working with me. And it's not only changing me and making me stronger, but it's changing somebody else's life. And that's why I say, you know, be zealous of good works. I really appreciate, you know, the high energy level that some people have when they serve. I know some people look at me as having some of that high energy, but it's just because, you know, really I thought I was so much more than I really was at a time when I was nothing. And now I look at myself and I feel like I'm nothing, and I think that the Lord has made me so much more than what I would expect myself to be. And that's truly a humbling experience. Galatians chapter 5. We all know these scriptures too, but like I said, I want to get us started off on the right foot here this year and, you know, get everybody pointed in the right direction and putting that hand to the plow and plowing that straight path. Let's look forward and continue just to trudge along and do what the Lord calls us to do. So in Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 16, 17 for now. And it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And in verse 19 through 25, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And these are the things that, you know, there's so many things in this world that these the works of the flesh are described here in 19 through 21. And, you know, this is prevalent in every direction that we look at, when we drive down the road, when we're at work, when we listen to the radio, when we watch TV. All these things are what the natural man desires to do. And these are the things that we need to make sure that we put off in our lives and that we look for the fruits of the Spirit, you know. We look for that joy in the love of Christ, that we have that charity, to be gentle, to have a goodness, you know, lifting people up, you know, saying, you know, it's good to see you. Hey, how you doing? And hope you're doing good, you know, and to have meekness and temperance. That's one of the things that I really challenge myself with, is to not to be overcome with my temper, because that's a very difficult thing for me. So you could just ask my kids and they'll tell you. And, you know, we struggle. We all struggle. We're all going to struggle. And my point is that we really just look at ourselves and we look at this year that we have ahead of us, and we don't dwell on those things in the past. We don't drive a car and look in the rearview mirror the whole time while we're driving down the road. You know, everybody's made mistakes in their lives. We can't sit there and look in the rearview mirror and dwell on those things. You know, we're going to crash the car. We're going to not be able to end up in a ditch. So we need to make sure that we focus on what we have ahead of us, what the Lord has in store for us, how we can pray about those things, and to let those things be of work in our lives. Verses 24 and 25. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm going to go to Book of Alma, chapter 5, on page 325. I'm going to read verses 38 through 42. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you, that I may awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before Him, that you may walk after the holy order of God, after which you have been received. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking for whatsoever things ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do receive. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that when we're putting ourselves into a challenge, when we're challenging ourselves, and we see things unfold and things turn out the way that the Lord would desire to turn out, let's be sure to thank God for that. You know, it's really important that we do that, that we thank the Lord for all the blessings that we do receive. And see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then you will always abound in good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that you may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets, which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. And isn't that what we're trying to accomplish? That's the challenge we have, is to reach that goal. That's our challenge in life. And you're in my thoughts and my prayers for all the challenges that you have, for all the trials that you have. You know, I think of each and every one of you on a daily basis. And it's important that we all think about each other as the body of Christ, where we're going, what direction we're going. Are we going in the right direction? If somebody's not going in the right direction, and I know that, am I taking the proper steps to help guide them back on the path? And that's our responsibility. That's what it's all about. And, you know, it's important that we understand that and how we continue to have an understanding of that and to not forget those things. It's so easy to forget sometimes when we get caught up in our own lives and our own personal things that are going on in our own world, in our own bubble. And it's important that we remember there's others around us that are in such great need. And what can we do to be able to help them? And what's our part as a part of this body of Christ? Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27 says here, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And you know, our lives are important. Our lives are very important. That's something easy to say, but it's really an important thing for the Lord's work to be done. And what the Lord is saying here is that we can't tie ourselves down and bind ourselves to our own desires in life, because we'll lose our eternal life if we do that. We need to make sure that are we giving our lives to the Lord to be able to accomplish His work, and then we shall be rewarded. And then we shall be able to reward that, have that reward to sit down in His kingdom of heaven. Book of Helaman, chapter 5, verses 85 and 86 on page 594. And it says here, "And now remember, my brethren, that whosoever perisheth unto himself, and whosoever doeth iniquity, doeth it unto himself. For behold, ye are free, ye are permitted to act for yourselves. For behold, God hath given you a knowledge, and he hath made you free. He hath given you that ye might know good from evil, and he hath given unto you that ye might choose life or death. And ye could do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you. Or ye can do evil and have that which is evil restored unto you." And, you know, we each have a right to choose. And that's why I wanted to get us started off on the right foot, because, you know, all of us have that choice to make on a daily basis. And it's important that we make those right decisions, that we're righteous for the Lord, that we pick up our cross daily and serve the Lord, and that we do so knowing that we could be confident in the Lord, having that strength that we need to be able to make a difference in the world in which we live. We don't have to worry about ourselves as much as we think we do. We need to worry about what the Lord's work is in our lives, and then the Lord will take care of us. And I know that might be difficult for some people to understand, but it's really, if you give yourself over to the Lord and think about those things and put Him before everything else and work in His direction and take His direction and be diligent in doing so, how richly you will be blessed, and you will understand the word of the gospel, how it will apply to your life, how you'll be fruitful for the Lord and receive the blessings thereof that He has in store for you. So one of my goals this year was to be able to do a service before 7 o'clock came about, and I actually accomplished that. So I was telling my wife, I said, I'm going to get this one done a little early. I got to do one at least, so I'll just get it off the list right at the get-go. So that was one of my challenges that I kept to myself, and I got 3 minutes to spare. But really, truly, everybody, we got a new year ahead of us. All those out there live streaming, thank you for tuning in. May God bless each and every one of you in our new year and in the endeavors that we have. God bless you.